Welcome to the Sports Zone on WHRU LP 101.5 FM Huntley Community Radio. I'm Anthony Collada, and we are back after a week off with Wild Card Baseball. We got Red Raider football and more of the NFL. So as we jump right into it with our best moment in sports this week, and I think I've got to give it to rookie running back for the Washington Commanders, Brian Robinson, who, if you recall, a couple of weeks ago, about 6 weeks ago now, he was shot in the leg in an attempting carjacking. He, rookie running back, just drafted, looking to break into the NFL, and he was shot. So out 6 weeks, but he finally makes his NFL debut this week, week four of the NFL. And what a moment for him. And I will say the Washington faithful definitely did it upright, the introducing him coming out of the tunnel as he came out to Many Men by 50 Cent, for all you hip hop and 50 Cent fans out there. Definitely a fitting song. I won't get into the lyrics of that one, but definitely a fitting song for his situation. And you know, a promising debut for the rookie, as he led the team with 9 carries and also led them with 22 yards. You know, not a fantastic debut, nothing to really write home about, but clearly he already has taken over the majority of the snaps for Washington. And, you know, as long as he's able to maintain his health and avoid any other unfortunate events like being shot at, I'd expect Robinson to continue to lead this Washington backfield for years to come. So good for the rookie to finally make it out onto the field and make his debut. And as we transition into Huntley Red Raider football, they dominated Hampshire in their homecoming game on Friday, handling them very well, 35-0. And after a slow first quarter, it was scoreless. Huntley jumped out in the second quarter and never turned back. Hayden Janke plummeted one in from about 6 yards out to get the scoring started in the second quarter. And then not even a minute later, Sam DeLegio found Logan Mikutis for a 68-yard touchdown to immediately go up 14-0. The scoring wasn't done there, though, as quickly after, Sam DeLegio added 2 rushing touchdowns, one of 3 yards and one of 27 yards, to jump out to a 28-0 lead going into the half. And, you know, at that point, it's homecoming, crowd's going crazy. The players are obviously juiced up. They continue to be juiced up, and they came out of half. Zach Rios brought in a touchdown from a couple of yards out. They made it 35-0 in the third, and Huntley was able to just coast to the 35-0 victory, securing their 6th win of the season, going to 6-1. And when you look at it, this was a game that Huntley had to win. It was a game that Huntley had to handle themselves and handle Hampshire as they did. I mean, Hampshire came into this one 0-6, now 0-7, so Huntley took care of business as they were supposed to. And Sam DeLegio up, the player of the game in this one, he threw for 142 yards, 1 touchdown and an interception, and he also added those 2 rushing touchdowns on the ground. So a good game from the quarterback on that one. Hayden Janke continued to do his thing with 25 carries, 112 yards and a touchdown. So offense was clicking on all cylinders. You know, I mentioned the long touchdown to Mikutis, so offense was hitting all over the place. And then on the defense, Deshaun Manning, we've talked about him for several weeks now, that he's just an animal. He loves flying around the ball, loves making plays, and this game against the Whippers was no different, with 11.5 tackles, 3 of which went for a loss. He also recorded a sack and a fumble recovery, so Manning continuing to be one of the MVPs on the defensive side of the ball. C.J. Filipek added 6 tackles, 4 of which were for a loss, and 2 sacks against Hampshire. And linebacker Joey Arvidsson collected 5.5 tackles himself and an interception. So that's a couple interceptions now for Arvidsson on the season. And ultimately, it came down to one thing and one thing only, and you look at it, it's the total yards. I mean, Huntley just dominated, 359 to Hampshire's 161. You look at those numbers, and it's clear. It tells you that Huntley not only was putting points on the board, but they were hanging on to the ball, controlling the clock, keeping the game at their pace. And when Huntley does that, I mean, we've seen it. When Huntley can control the clock and control the game and play at their pace, they're really hard to beat. And they're going to look to continue that momentum on the road this next week, going to Dundee Crown, who has a record of just 2-4. So the 6-1 Raiders need to go on the road against DC, handle their business again like they did against Hampshire before coming back home for one final game before the playoff push. So another big game for Huntley coming up, as every game is, heading up to the playoffs. So it should be another good game for the Raiders against Dundee Crown on Friday. As for the Chicago Bears, they did lose on Sunday to the Vikings 29-22, but this is probably the best Bears game that we've seen up to this point in the season, and it didn't start out pretty. By the 7:23 mark in the second quarter, Dalvin Cook had ran for 2 touchdowns. Justin Jefferson had caught a touchdown and like 10 catches for 130 yards. It was 21-3, and we were at that point again that it was like, well, Bears are going to roll over and get embarrassed. But that actually isn't what happened. The offense continued to hang in there towards the end of the first half, and David Montgomery was able to plunge into the end zone for a 9-yard touchdown with about a minute and 12 seconds remaining before halftime. So the Bears, they get a stop before half, and then they were able to make the drive down the field. Montgomery gets in the end zone, 21-10 before half. Right after halftime, the defense comes out, gets a stop. Now, you can feel the momentum starting to shift for the Bears. They drive down the field again. And then Velus Jones Jr. actually picks up his first career touchdown with a little 9-yard flip pass from Justin Fields. So just like that, Bears are right in it. They did fail the 2-point conversion that would have put them at 21-14. Unfortunately, they didn't get that, so they were still trailing. They were trying to make it a one-score game. Didn't happen, but you know, they continue to go out on defense, continue to make stops, continuing to play well, and then Santos comes in with a field goal with about a minute left in the third quarter, making it 21-19. And then fourth quarter starts, Santos comes back on the next drive with a 51-yard field goal, and then all of a sudden, it's 22-21 Bears, and now it's like, okay, defense, can you get one more stop for us? Unfortunately, the Bears defense wasn't able to get that stop. Cousins and the Vikings drove down the field as they did for like they did in the first half, and Cousins actually ran in a 1-yard touchdown. And then the following 2-point conversion was successful, making it a 29-22 game. And so Bears got the ball back with a little over 2 minutes left, about 2.5 minutes left, and Fields is leading him down the field. He's getting some clean pockets. He's moving out of the pocket when he's got to. He's picking up yards with his feet. And then all of a sudden he hits Amir Smith-Marset down the left sideline, and he makes a guy miss, goes to pick up the first down. But instead of just going out of bounds with less than 2 minutes, no timeouts, you've got to get out of bounds. You're on the sideline. Smith-Marset decides to try to make another guy miss or get extra yards. I'm not exactly sure what he did, but the guy who he made miss, Cam Dantzler, got up, came up from behind him, ripped the ball out, and that was game over for the Bears. So a crucial mistake there by Smith-Marset, and it wasn't his only mistake in the game, as you go back to about the 12-minute mark in the fourth quarter, and Smith-Marset picked up a blocking in the back penalty that negated what would have been a 52-yard touchdown run for Justin Fields. It was a questionable call. It wasn't egregious. It wasn't a huge block in the back. The guy kind of flopped, but refs threw the flag, called the penalty back. So two crucial mistakes by Amir Smith-Marset that ultimately cost the Bears the game. But here, as a Bears fan and as people looking at the Bears this season, everyone knows they're not going to be that great of a team. They're not expected to win a bunch of games. What you want to see is this team pick things up and hit their spots and do some things right and show you confidence for the next couple of years. And I think that's what they did this week. I mean, you look at Fields. He started off a little shaky, finished with 15 of 21 for 208 yards. He did have the touchdown through the air and 47 rushing yards. But first half, you know, we talked about it. They were down 21 to 10. It was 21-3 for most of the first half. But Fields and the offense picked it up in the second half. Fields finished 12 of 13 for 135 yards, that touchdown, and 36 rushing yards in the second half. Those are you stretch that out over an entire game, and those are fantastic numbers. So he continues to progress. It looked like he was starting to see the field a little bit better, starting to understand where the blitz is and where the rush was coming, and showing an awareness in the pocket to get out of there before getting sacked. So baby steps. You got to take baby steps with Fields. And, you know, hopefully the offense continues to progress. David Montgomery came back from injury after one game. He looked good. 12 for 20 on the ground. It was tough for him to get anything going on the ground. He looked a little slow in his jump cuts, but that's to be expected with an ankle injury. But he made most of his contributions in the passing game, catching four passes for 62 yards. So, you know, good to see Montgomery back out on the field running hard. He's a key part of this offense. So, good to see him back. Hopefully he stays healthy. And Darnell Mooney, we had a Darnell Mooney sighting again this week with a fantastic over-the-head one-handed grab that mirrors Odell Beckham and George Pickens like we saw a couple weeks ago. So fantastic catch from Mooney there. Hopefully him and Fields can continue to build that chemistry that we saw last year. So, you know, a tough loss for the Bears ultimately, but you know, they showed promise. Now they've got to take that on a short week. They return back home to face off against the Washington Commanders. I'm just going to warn everybody, it's probably not going to be a great Thursday night game. Most of them aren't, even if they're good teams. But Bears, Commanders, Thursday night, kind of see what happens there. It's not a great team. Bears offense needs to show some promise. Quickly on the Chicago Bulls, with the NBA preseason just getting underway, a couple of notes to watch out for as the season goes on. Javonte Green is really stepping it up in preseason right now. He looks energetic. We already know him for being a great defensive guy. He slashes, he dunks well. He's put in a lot of work in his shooting, so hopefully he can start to knock down that three ball consistently, and he might turn into a very dangerous wing role player for the Bulls. Ayo Dosunmu is probably expected to be the starter with Lonzo Ball out of the point guard position. Newly addition Andre Drummond picked up a couple of three balls on Sunday, three of them actually. And for a 7-foot center who's known for his rebounding, if he can hit some threes this season, you're looking good. And then Dalen Terry, the rookie they drafted, he's looking very good. He's got that high floor, so you know he's not going to make a whole lot of mistakes. We'll see how much potential he really has, but he's a solid player and looked for him to make some impacts throughout the regular season. And before we get into the MLB wildcard round, we take a quick break for station ID. You're listening to 101.5 FM, WHRU LP 101.5 FM. So, with the MLB wildcard round, we had three sweeps of the four series. They were three-game series, so first to win two games. Cleveland handled Tampa Bay 2-0, nice, quick, and easy. Seattle, they took game one and then clawed their way back from an 8-1 deficit in game two to beat Toronto 2-0 in Toronto. So, Seattle moves on. The Philadelphia Phillies defeated St. Louis 2-0 in St. Louis as well. So the final game for Pujols, most likely the final game for Yadier Molina. Quick note, as a Cubs fan, I'm glad. Get him out of here. I'm done with him. And then the San Diego Padres defeated the New York Mets in New York in Game 3, 2-1 on Sunday night. And Darvish and Musgrove were the two stories here for the Padres. The two starting pitchers in games 1 and 3 combined for 14 innings, 7 hits, just 1 allowed from Musgrove, only 1 earned run between the two pitchers, and 9 total strikeouts combined. So when you get good pitching like that, it makes it very difficult for any team to score any runs, and it makes your offense not have to do a whole lot of work. So you get great pitching in games 1 and 3. Trent Grisham, their center fielder, who's not didn't have a great regular season, not known for much power, but he hit home runs in games 1 and 2. So, you know, postseason, stats reset. This might be a case of, hey, this guy's going to get hot at the right time, and he just might be one of those guys that all of a sudden comes out of nowhere for the Padres and helps them win some big games. So a big series for Trent Grisham there, and he'll look to continue that. So with the wild card round now over, we head to the divisional round, which is a 5-game series. So first to win 3 games. The breakdown of the series, they go 2 at the home stadium, 2 on the lower seed, and then 1 back on the higher seed. So for the matchups in the divisional round, you've got Philly against Atlanta, divisional game there. That one should be very exciting. I would expect that one to go all 5 games. Seattle and Houston play each other. Houston, you know, they're the better team, but Seattle's got those 4 starting pitchers, so that one should be another good series. Cleveland takes on the Yankees. That's going to be another interesting series. We've seen the Yankees kind of falter in the playoffs over the last few years. We'll see if they can finally get back to some of their postseason magic that we saw in the early 2000s. And then the Padres take on the Dodgers. And this is one of those series that the Padres are really going to have to come to play. We mentioned it before that the Dodgers have beaten the Padres like 25 of the last 27 visits that they've played or something crazy like that. So Padres, you know, like I said, everything resets, but the Padres are going to have to come with everything that they've got to defeat their division rival, the Dodgers. And then a quick note for the Braves. They actually extended Spencer Strider, their pitcher, to a 6-year, $75 million contract. And if you recall, a couple of weeks ago, he actually set the Braves rookie strikeout record against the Colorado Rockies. So Braves, they're one of those teams notorious for locking down their young players. They do it again here with one of their top starting pitchers in Spencer Strider. As we move over to the NFL, some decent games this week. I'm not going to lie, I was a little disappointed in some of them. The Colts and the Broncos Thursday night game definitely was one to forget about. It was an ultimate snooze fest as the Colts, they beat the Broncos in some ugly fashion. Russell Wilson did not look good. He threw 2 interceptions late in the fourth quarter, one of which was in the end zone as time was expiring. In the fourth quarter, he had KJ Hamler wide open in the end zone and just didn't look at him, didn't throw it. Hamler had a fit on the field. The coaches don't look to be all in sync. The Broncos just don't look good right now. You know, I think some learning curves were to be expected with Nathaniel Hackett, first-time head coach, not necessarily a guy that has ever called plays or was looked to as being a leader, but you know he comes in after being the quarterback coach for Aaron Rodgers, and then they bring in Russell Wilson, who they traded for from Seattle, who, you know, obviously his resume speaks for itself. He's been to 2 Super Bowls, he's won 1, he's been top, you know, 5 or so in MVP voting like every year, but all of a sudden it's like he's a completely different quarterback. And you know, it begs a question. How much of that was Seattle? How much of that was where he was playing, who he was playing with? And, you know, we'll see. Right now, the Broncos don't look good at all. They've got some dysfunction. They lost their running back, Javonte Williams, to a torn ACL. The defense is still good, but offense needs to pick it up. And for the Colts, Matt Ryan, who they brought in to kind of try to put an end to their quarterback carousel, looks like he's just another in a long line of people that are going to come through Indianapolis. It seems like they've been searching for a quarterback ever since Andrew Luck. But just a terrible game on Thursday night football. Most of them usually are. And yeah, I'm someone that loves football, but you continue to watch these Thursday night games, and it's been this way for a couple of years now that it doesn't even seem like who's playing. They all kind of, the games just kind of suck. They're all low scoring and short week. You get these guys playing on Sunday, and then right away on Thursday, it's quick turnaround for these guys that are putting their bodies on the line. I don't want to say I want to, you know, get rid of Thursday night football. I love watching football during the week, but you got to eventually get some type of quality play. And right now, Thursday night's just not doing it. But the NFL did go back to London for the second week in this week with the New York Giants and the Green Bay Packers. And it was actually a very good game. Most of those London games are another one that it's like, eh, they're two kind of bad teams. They just want to put some NFL on for the world. But you actually got the Giants and the Packers, who everyone thought the Packers were going to destroy them. And good game, back and forth. It was tight. Giants pulled off the upset. And, you know, as a Bears fan, obviously, I love seeing the Packers lose. But just as an NFL fan, to see two teams that are actually atop their division, and that's a point we'll get to a little bit later, two teams atop their division playing some good football right now, you put them in London on a national stage, on a worldwide stage, and you actually get a good football game, and it's a result that not everyone expected, that's a recipe for success for the NFL. So if they can continue to figure out the right matchups for these London games, I know they're going to Mexico City like they did a couple of years ago. I think they've got something in maybe another country, maybe China or something. I don't remember exactly the country, but they are starting to branch out to other countries as well and spread the NFL around the world. If you can have games like this Packers Giants game in these international games, you're going to see the NFL start to gain even more popularity. I mean, here, you look at the London games, those the stands are packed as it is, and they don't have any football there every week, but that the stadium still sells out, so football is still popular. But when you get good games and you show people good quality football, you're only going to continue to build it. The Steelers and Bills game, Kenny Pickett made his first career start, and well, he looked like a rookie. Let's just say that after his debut of coming in and spelling Mitchell Trubisky, he threw three interceptions, ran two touchdowns in his first career start. He threw for 327 yards. He threw an interception, but they were blown out 38-3. So you'd expect some inflated numbers, you know, with the 327 yards. You're not seeing a rookie quarterback do that very often unless they are trailing big like they were. He's just got to keep slinging the ball. But, you know, Kenny Pickett, I ultimately think he's going to have a good career. I don't see why he wouldn't. He was one of the top quarterbacks in college football. But, you know, it's like the situation with Justin Fields. He's not on a great team. He doesn't have a great quarterback to kind of move him along. Now, I will say the coaching staff is much better than what the Bears or some of these other teams are running out there. But ultimately, here, it's his first start. He's playing against the Super Bowl favorites. This was expected. But here, Kenny Pickett still threw for over 300 yards. Those are signs of promise. Tampa Bay Atlanta Falcons game also ended in some controversy with a roughing the passer penalty, or if you call that roughing the passer. And basically with Tom Brady, this is Tuck Rule 2.0, because it was about, I think the score was 21-15. Buccaneers had the ball and just trying to run out the clock. And it's third down. Tom Brady gets sacked by Grady Jarrett, and clean sack, perfect. He wrapped him up. This is a 320-pound defensive lineman. He wraps him up, rolls, brings Brady down. Brady doesn't hit his head. He doesn't get hit in the knees. He doesn't get hit in the head. And all of a sudden, flag comes out, and they call roughing the passer. It was one of those plays that you saw the flag, and it's like, oh, okay, holding, decline, they're going to punt, or, you know, something like that. Nope, it was roughing the passer. It was probably the biggest fluke of a roughing the passer that you've ever seen. And there's been some bad ones over the last couple of years, but I think this, here, I'm not big on these things, but I think this was one of those situations that it was, hey, we got to protect Brady here. He's 10-0 against the Falcons. We got to protect Brady. So questionable. Tom Brady ends up winning the game. Refs let him off the hook. And then real quick, Carolina fired Matt Rhule after a 1-4 start. He is 11-27 in his third year as the coach of the Panthers. He was fired in year three of a 7-year contract. So Panthers eating a lot of money there. Now they've got to basically start all over at the quarterback position. And a matchup I'm looking forward to next week, Buffalo-Kansas City, a rematch of that AFC Championship game where, like, I don't know, 28 points or something were scored in the last 2 minutes. So that should be exciting. And then as we wrap up the show with our fun fact, as we go back to that London game, like I mentioned, the game in London was the first time that the NFL has played in London where two teams were both above 500. So, you know, I don't think the NFL planned this. The Giants weren't expected to be good. Even the Packers probably, I mean, they were expected to be above 500, but they weren't expected to be a good team. But you get 2 3-1 teams in London. They put on a good game. So now, hey, NFL, you've got a recipe for success here. Start following that format. So, you know, like I said, good game in London. Some decent games around the NFL. Most of them were just okay. So with that, we wrap up this episode. We've got some more coming next week with the Raiders against Dundee Crown, Bears on Thursday night against the Commanders, and more MLB playoffs. So until next week.